It is a change of text this evening, but I'd like to mention this morning's text was from the 101st Psalm, part of verse 2, which I will just quote. The few words were, "Oh, when wilt thou come unto me?" But this evening, these words continually come to my heart and mind from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 22. The 16th chapter of John, verse 22. "May the Lord make them the answer to the morning text. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." The 16th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 22. "Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." And you have been waiting and patiently knocking often at the door of Jesus and begging of him when he will come to you. And his answer is here. He sees your condition and he knows that your heart is full of sorrow. And he gives this with it. He will see you again. He will see you again. Those of us who hope by the grace of God and the compassion of Jesus in looking not only into our case, but making our case and cause his own, we know just a little of what it is for us, for him, to see us again. But then there are those who are waiting to see him. And I have no doubt some of you here are longing to see him for the first time. You would have to say this evening, "I've never yet seen him by faith. I've heard of him." So did Job, remember. Job said, "I have heard of him with the hearing of the ear, but he said, now mine eye seeth thee." You want the second part of what Job said. You want to see him. And the dear Redeemer has promised you will, friend, you will see him. You look at the ardent petitions, fervent cries that have gone up to heaven. And I know that with some of you, it has been years where you have had to say, if you express to yourself and the feelings of your own soul, that it has only been darkness, darkness. What a long trial of darkness and often disappointment you've met with in this life. You have to say, "I've often been to the house of God, but I've gone home so often disappointed. I haven't yet seen Jesus." Friend, you will. You will see him. Because he has shown himself to you. And my thoughts of this text is came so sweetly. The disciples knew what it was to sorrow and to mourn. But we read this. This is the third time that he showed himself to the disciples. I almost believe I can hear your poor soul crying out, "Lord, let me have it the first time. Let me have a face view of thee the first time." Dear, shine, dear Jesus, shine. Then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan. Oh, friend, if you express the desires of your soul, you have to say, "Jesus is all I want. for I find my all is bound up in him, this precious Lamb of God. Now see, he saw what was wrong with them. They've got sorrow. You've got sorrow. You're shut up with it, with God, and you'll have it this way, friends. Nothing fresh for some of us to have a trouble, a sorrow, to be shut up alone with God about it. It's no good saying, well, I'll go and see someone about it. There's things that I can't. I told you this morning, there are things that are no one on earth which fills my very soul with sorrow, and I can only take it before the Lord. You're the same. And you have to say, what shall I do? Where can I turn? The dear psalmist says, turn to the stronghold. Turn to him. One day, when the Lord has seen what the effect of this sorrow has upon your heart, you see, sorrow will cast you down. Sorrow depresses. Sorrow brings oppression. Sometimes it affects you in your body, and you may fear it'll oppress you in your mind. You say, this sorrow, Lord, I can't remove it. I can't remove it. Now he's aware of it. He knows it's there. You don't think the man that has got the leprosy doesn't know he's got it, do you? Or the man or woman with a cancer, and that's been shown to them, they know that it's there when it's revealed and told. So will you be with your sorrow. With your burden, you begin, you have to say, Lord, remove my load of sin. Here it is so great, but you fear that you won't be able to find acceptance within. You fear sometimes you may be an Esau. You may fear that you shed many a tears and sought repentance carefully and have found it not. You've written bitter things against yourself and said, the truth, I can never know, I'm so different than the people of God, but you're not, friend, you're not. Poor and afflicted, Lord of thine, they are. Full of sorrow, you know. I never thought it was like it, friends. If you asked me 15 years ago, if I should walk through a path that I had experimentally and spiritually, leave everything else alone, just experimentally before God, I should have said, no, friends, no, it can't be. But there's times when I feel I should never come through at last. You like the boat, you see, with the man with the boat, you feel it go down, it go down. Sometimes you haven't the breath, you haven't the strength, the sorrow is depressing. But do you know what the sorrow is doing, friend? It is driving you to it. Well, as he said, by the word of dear Malachi, unto you, that fear my name, loving him, it means, unto you, that love his name. You do love him, don't you? You desire to love him more than you love anything else. But he said, unto you that love his name, fear his name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Friend, he heals the brokenhearted. You know what it is, haven't you? Can go out in the outhouse, to go away upstairs, out in the garden, in the field, out in the wood. You're like the psalmist, I would wander far, I would wander far. Oh, that I had pinions like a dove. I would go where Jesus is. You would have him to come and bathe your weary soul at times in that precious, precious love of his. He will, he will. Come to back to this dear man, Isaiah. think what he says, consider him. And he speaks as a mother comforting her only son. Have you ever had that? You remember the time when your own dear mother wiped your tears from your eyes? And friends, you have this dear Christ of God to wipe every tear away, however much sorrow you might have. I'm sure of this because I'm sure he's wiped a few tears from my eyes at times when no one on earth has known anything about it. You don't make a parade that your sorrow is locked up as if that's in prison. You say it is, you present it to God with that ability that he gives you in prayer. But you see, you say, well, has everybody got this sort of sorrow? The Lord puts sorrow in our hearts and in our path, which he uses as the means of humbleness. You know what he did with Paul? We had it a little while ago somewhere. He had a thorn in the flesh. And I know doubt you know that Paul didn't go around the churches speaking and shouting about this thorn in the flesh at that particular time. But he went to his God about it and he asked him three times. And the answer that God gave to him, as you know, was this, and this will help us, my grace is sufficient for thee. Say you, but I can't see it. Friend, you can see it. You can feel it. You don't see the grace of God, you feel it. It is supporting. It is maintaining. It is sustaining. And when you feel, I'm going to drop, Lord, I'm going to collapse under this whole thing, underneath of the everlasting arms, blessing. He won't let his people fall. Will he let his disciples fall? Look at this dreadful parting. You know what it is, don't you? Some of us know what it is when sometimes through different things in life we're pulled apart from each other. I think sometimes it is most heartrending. You know what it is, and when you sometimes have your dear ones snatched away from your side, put in a hospital, and these sort of things. What to me? This makes me weep again and again. I'm not ashamed to say this. I wept at the Lord's feet over things like that. But you see, this parting, and this was the time of parting from his disciples. And here was the warning, but he first of all said and told them, he knew the condition they were in. Heavy heart. You said sometimes, I can't bear the thought of having to part. Of course you can't. Of course you can't do all things. But don't forget, he understands. He understands it. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And I know that those dearest disciples, after he had gone, they realized more and more that the miss that they had of his presence, you think of this, you had it, I miss the presence of this friend like one that you can never forget. You can't forget. You love someone on earth, your party, through some means, you don't forget them. Just like as if there's a aching void and you have to say sometimes, I feel I can't go on another day without them. Isn't that more so with this dear Jesus? Isn't it more so when he sees our condition and knows that we are so cast down and so full of sorrow? You've heard it sometimes, don't you? I have. People said it to me, I'm full of trouble, I'm full of sorrow. Poor thing. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you say, you can't bring them out of it. You see, and this is, we just emphasize this again. You sometimes feel you don't get to the root of the matter with them because they're afraid to speak it. They don't want to speak what the sorrow is. They know their God knows, and they take it before Him, but they feel, oh, I can't open up. Now, you know, friend, if it's your case is like that, you can't tell anyone on earth. Beg of Him to give you grace that you'll open up more fully to Him. Cast, He said, on Me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. I said not long ago I did remember the time, I believe, when Jesus sat there and in a greenhouse with me and spoke that into my heart. And you say, but why? Because I had got so much sorrow that I couldn't bear it alone. And I've had to prove over the years that He did speak it. And He is speaking to you, see, He's going to draw this out of your heart toward Him. More love, friends, more love. And out of my heart, more love. The things that we esteem most and before Him sometime are the things that are blighted. The things that He touches. And sometimes they are the very things that we put before Him, they may oppose us. Say, but it's not this way, is it? Oh, yes, friends, yes. He won't have anything before Himself. He'll have the heart, you know, it belongs to Him. And though your heart may be so cast down, and you're so full of trouble, and yet He said, I shall see you again. Now I feel this is most blessed in this verse, because He sets one over against the other, the day of adversity against the day of prosperity. He speaks of the sorrow. What? We read today at Ely, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His heart was thus affected with sorrow. It's nothing fresh to this dear Redeemer to have to deal with sorrow of heart. And that's why He is so sympathetic with His dear people. He knew that there would be a turning of the days, a turning of the tide from sorrow to joy. Oh, I just want to make this one remark, friends. If we're the Lord's people, I believe that the Lord does give His people a break here and there, and He turns their mourning into joy. It may not be for a long, long time. It may not be for such a length of time that they enjoy it, but it'll be long enough that they shall remember. Where they will be brought to live under the light of His countenance. The wonderful blessing. I remember after my baptism, being so afflicted in my body soon afterward with yellow jaundice, the devil roared like a lion in my soul day and night. I wondered where the whole scene would end. You know, I cried, shifted, and wept before the throne of Christ. When this dear Jesus appeared, oh, He appeared in His glory. He stood at the bottom of the foot of my bed, and I longed for Him to waft my soul to glory. I'm going to tell you without any exaggeration, not the fullness of it, but in a measure, a great measure, I had and enjoyed the blessedness of that visit to days to come after I was recovered. And I've been working in an orchard. And I came down and walked home to midday dinner or lunch, whatever we call it. And I remember I got down to the end of an ash path, full of the joy and blessing of the Lord in my soul. He raised me up, you see. I'd gone down, I would say I'd come down to the gates of death, the gates of hell, and there the enemy was roaring like a lion. My poor soul, I never forget it. When the Lord appeared, gave me this blessing, which lasted in the sweetness of it, not the fullness, the sweetness of it, for many days. And this day, dinner time, I got to the end of this path, musing upon him who had done all things well. When I got to the end, I felt as if my friend had fled back to heaven. And I stood and I was filled with sorrow. Filled with sorrow. And I cried out after him, "More frequent let thy visits be, or let them longer last. I can do nothing without thee. Make haste, my God, make haste." Oh, how many days of sorrow has there been since then. But I'll see you again. The inference here, I believe, is this. He knows we can't get along ourselves. You know, if you don't know how to row, you risk and be in trouble. Well, we don't know how to row the little boat to heaven, friends. We don't. We need this precious Jesus to be at the helm. We need him to be the captain of our salvation. We need him to take over to, that we may come through and do as the dear apostle said in another place, referring to this journey heavenward, that we may run or row the good race that is set before us. And there's something you must endure, he said, and that is enduring the cross. Think what your cross is. So I go to bed and it's there, and I get up and it's there. And you try to do your daily duties and things, it's there, friends, it's there, and you can't get rid of it. And you're crying to your precious Jesus, "Come and deliver me. Come and help me, Lord. Whatever shall I do? I will see you again." He saw the disciples again. This is what you will pray. "Show me some token, Lord, for good. I will have some token of thy precious love. Tell me that I am born of God, and that my interest is above." Be a good outcome to the sorrow, won't it, if you are able to do that, and if he gives you grace to read this title clear. Will you be able to say, "Well, I went there, but I felt the arms underneath. He lifted me out." The man said in his psalm again, "He sent from above. He took me." Look at this. Sent, took, drew, power. Drew me out of many waters, the flood. You feared the floodgates were going to flood your soul, and the power of the enemy would be too much for you. He sent from above and he took you and he drew you out of many waters. You've known many waters of affliction, sorrow. Now, before long, it's going to be the day of rejoicing. It's going to be the day of prosperity. Friends, I believe this is only right and faithful that I should say this. Before the day of prosperity, sorrow may get a little greater and a little more severe. Those Don't think you're going to step out of this chapel tonight just because you've heard a little discourse and say, well, he told us it'll come and tomorrow morning I shall be walking at large with the Lord, no friends. It may be a little deeper, a little sharper, a little more fierce. But he said there be the dawning of the morning. And he has shown you this. However deeply takes you out in sorrow, the greater will be your joy when deliverance comes. Some of us remember when we were delivered from the bondage of conviction, don't we? When we were in bondage, when we thought conviction was so sharp. Don't you remember the time when you were delivered? Maybe a dear man of God was used to preach to you. He preached unto your soul, Jesus, and you wept before because of your sins, and after you wept because of the glories of Christ. You were able to say, he's mine, and I am his. You began in your blessed hour of deliverance to have prosperity. Jesus says it's joy, blessing. This dear Saviour, you know, so full of compassion, speaks of the joy. Now we come back a little. He had some joy. It was the joy that was set before him. And friends, it's the joy that's set before you. God will open your prison door and he will liberate your soul and set you free. You've been in prison a long time, haven't you? You haven't had liberty to walk at large. You look at others and say, oh, look at them. You did look at the man that lay 8 and 30 years in the pool, and you had to say, look at him, poor thing. But look at my case, it's worse. Then you hear another one, or see another one. They're walking at large with the Lord. The Lord's blessed. Don't you say, Lord, when is it my time? When will that time, blessed Lord, arise? You have to ask him again and again, sorrow, deliver me from it. It's right, friends. Remember the words that we read in the last verse? These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. It's not peace first and sorrow after. It's sorrow first and peace to follow. It's shut up and deliverance. It's conviction and the gospel. This is the way the Lord deals with his dear people. And we cannot expect or look for anything different in the world. Ye shall have tribulation. You will. I find sometimes now that even the grasshopper becomes a bird, you know, it's tribulation. I think about 20 years ago, I could have smiled at that and said, oh, I don't mind a bit, I do now. You can't bear it so much as you could do now. You say, well, surely, doesn't seem as if it's much of a trouble, that one. But it's the accumulation of the troubles, the accumulation of sorrows. A little here, a little there, a little somewhere else. And sometimes you have to say as we read, Lord, it is enough. It is enough, Lord. I can't bear any more. The person that has a pain knows exactly how much that pain hurts. You and I don't. It's their pain. It's in their body. It affects their feelings. And we know the same, but each one has their sorrow, and the Lord will see to this. There will be a way of escape. Now when we consider this, you're not going to just make a noise concerning this. He says your heart shall rejoice. Oh, your heart. Isn't it a blessing, friends, to have a real heart religion given to us? of adversity consider. In the day of prosperity rejoice. You will. And sometimes you have to say, well, in the day of prosperity, I think I must consider now. Well, it'll be a good thing if we do. Either way around, if the Lord brings us here, your heart should rejoice. Now, there's something toward the end of this verse, which is this. We mentioned something like this morning, but not quite the same, meaning the same. Your joy no man taketh from you. Rejoicing and joy are something that heaven alone can give, I believe. Real joy. You hear of it, and people speak of it. I have seen people moved very excitedly with their natural religion. And if afterwards you said to them, well, what did you see in that? And they said, well, we've got joy. But not spiritual joy, not spiritual joy. I believe that a spiritual joy is this. It possesses the very soul with such sacredness. It is by and through the influence of the Holy Spirit that this joy is enjoyed, that the child of God is made sober, and their heart is solemnized before a holy and a heart-searching God. And next, we believe that the Lord will give the joy and it will last, and it will make a mark in the heart of that child of grace. You think, when we sing, we don't always say, well, my heart is rejoicing, do we? Sometimes I try to sing some of the hymns and I had to say, well, now, if only I really felt what I'm singing. If only my heart rejoiced in Jesus' precious name. If only my heart did rejoice in that precious blood that washes away the sins of his people. Sometimes he permits it to, you know. And sometimes we can sing with heart and voice, but surely the rejoicing and singing, they go together. I remember the psalmist says, on one occasion, he says, I will sing a new song unto the Lord, even praise unto my God. That's coming close, friend. Large and part, isn't it? When you think, well, what's going to make a man or a person sing like this and rejoice? We had it in our reading, did we not? Like a woman that is in travail and when she is delivered. That's different. That's different. There's rejoicing. Rejoicing with God's people, they are delivered. And when you're delivered from your sorrow, whatever might be the means of it, and the Lord shows you, and he said, well, this is my hand. As sure as he brought his people out of Egypt, so sure I am that he still works, friend, on behalf of his dear people. He brings them out with a mighty hand. He brings them out. As sure as he used his hand to bring out the Israelites from Egypt, so he'll bring you out. Let your sorrow, trouble be what it is, providential. In the home, in the family, in the business, in the church of God, wherever it is, God, who is a sovereign, will put out his almighty hand. He said, I'll be inquired of. But after he said, I will put a new song in their mouth. Here put it, friend, it's rejoicing. What a day, what a day. What sweet, blessed anticipation at times to look beyond this lower world when everything will be all gathered up and Jesus Christ will come and he will come to make his people rejoice. And in that 14th of John, He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Look at the promise. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, again, our text, the 14th of John, I will come again, I will come again, friends. He said to his dear disciples, he said to you, my poor fellow sinner, who struggles with sorrow and conflict, who's battling day after day, I will see you again, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself. Listen further. Look where I am. There ye might be also. Oh, supposing he called for us, friends, before another Sabbath. Do we want to see him? Is it true in our heart and from it? There is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. There finite day excludes the night, and pleasures banish pain. No more sorrow. I'll see you again, and I will take you to myself, friends. He says so. So where he is, there you will be also. In heaven. What sweet anticipation at times to look beyond this earthly ball, at last to be where our Jesus is, and rise to everlasting bliss. I wonder if we should all be on earth next Lord's Day. I wonder. He only knows this, doesn't he? You may have a parting from him. You may part from a dear one for a little while. The Lord spares them. You'll see them again. You'll see them again. It won't be long. And that won't be long until this dear Redeemer, this dying man, endears himself to your soul. Dear whisper, peace within. He'll take you to Calvary by his dear Spirit, and there you will see and behold the place where the Lamb of God was once slain to take away your sin, that he may take you to heaven to be with him forever. Isn't there times, sometimes a moment or two, when you could bid adieu to everything on earth? When you have to say to him, there, Lord, I shall bathe my weary soul in seas of endless bliss, where not a wave of trouble rolls across my peaceful breast, to be with Christ, which is far better. Lastly, for him to prepare us for it, that place above, heaven. What does it mean to us each? We careless, indifferent, cold, are we filled with the world and the things of it? Can we honestly say, I've got so much sorrow at times because I fear I'm wrong, but at the bottom of my heart I want to be right? That's a blessing. Because if you want to be right, he'll make you right. And he who has made your end secure will assure you before you die, thou art mine, I should take you to heaven to be where I am forever. we cannot begin to understand the fullness of what it means on earth to be with him. I will see you again in glory. There will be no end to anything, but it will be just one continuation of singing, of rejoicing, of joy. Won't be any isms, no schisms. Won't have to say, well, I'm in the black books with this one or that. No, you're seeing, you'll behold him, be with him where he is, and never, never sin. From the rivers of his grace, you will drink endless pleasures in. And I hope that while you are still struggling on earth, it won't be long before you see him. You may have to say, Lord, give me yet one more. Just one more look, Lord. Just a glance, one more smile. Break his heart out of mine. Deliver me from loving the world and the things of it so much. Let me love thee more, I pray. If I love at all, if I never loved before, then teach me to begin today. May that be our lot, and Christ Jesus be our all and in all. Amen.
Elections last Lord Day amounted to £40 and 10 pence, for which we would be sincerely thankful. The Lord will, Mr. J.S. Green is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Parley again next Lord's Day. The service next Lord's Day evening will not commence until 6:30. Let us close with singing hymn 384.
We do ask for journeying mercies, may it please thee to grant, and they may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion, the Holy Spirit upon us,